Okay. I hope you saw the, but I suspect that the ones who are not here maybe did not see the news in Pronter that we have a special setup today. So I just have to get started with the lecture because we have 45 minutes. And there we are. So, lecture. I have to be away for 20 minutes, and then we do start up the lab. And then I encouraged most of the third-year students to go to the auditorium Eureka to see the Eureka Prize. But we have the visit from CERN at the same time, so you can prioritize yourself where you want to go. But I will go to attend the CERN lecture. I think that will be very interesting as well. And then we do lab work. Okay, so just my list of things to remember. I hope the midterm exam yesterday was okay. I will do my best to grade it by the end of next week, and by next week, by end of next week, I think I mean Sunday evening, meaning Monday, not this Monday, but the next Monday, the latest. You should have your feedback, and what you will get from me is then a score between a 0 and 100, including a score on each question on the exam, which I will copy and paste as a hand-in for you in Pronter, so you will only see your own score, of course. And it's important that there's no pass or fail. You cannot fail on this. You will not get a grade. So I just give you a score between a 0 and 100, and I do that on the project, and I do that on the final, and then I average them, and then I introduce a grading scheme, and you will fail if you have less average than 40%. But if you get 20% score on this, that's not a fail. That just means that that will be part of the computation at the end. But 20% is better than 0. For those who are in Atria, there was, in my mind, there was too much noise there, so I'll not use that as an exam arena again. But I hope it went okay. Or was it too noisy? Okay. So, and there was a power outage yesterday. So I don't know if you noticed, but when you log in, you will probably see that all your servers in Sky High are shut off. So you have to start them again, all of them. But you just have to start the servers, all the networking and everything. And I think it's usually this works out okay. So you just have to do OpenStack server start on all your servers. Maybe you can do that on your entire stack, but I haven't been able to figure that out, whether you can do that. So, and now, the final piece of the puppet saga. The last thing we need to know to be working professionally with Puppet, and that's the workflow. Has any of you gotten everything working with Foreman and completed last week's exercise 100%? So it's working? Good. No, I expected that because now there's a lot of things that might fail and a lot of details, and there will be even more details and things that might fail today. And you see there's the most theory and the most readings are for this week, and at the same time I suspect that you probably spent much of the time last week preparing for the exam instead of doing the lab. And that's all fine because the next 2 weeks are easier. So now we just need to complete what we need to learn about doing professional system administration, and then we're just going to practice it on 2 cases. So don't worry if you're a week behind. We have 2 weeks to catch up on this. We're finalizing the Puppet workflow today. Then we're going to practice this on 2 cases. So when we complete today, we know basically everything we need to know. We're ready to do real work. Okay, so what are we going to apply this on? So in any infrastructure, what you at least need is centralized logging and monitoring. So that's the cases we're going to use. So we're going to write Puppet profiles for setting up a centralized logging system and for setting up monitoring. And then, of course, your project at the end of this course is that you should choose some kind of case that you would like to realize. So we do centralized logging and we do monitoring, and then we're going to do last 2 weeks working on Windows and PowerShell desired state configuration and some Active Directory. So, and then you should just choose something that you would like to implement in Puppet, a distributed system that you would like to implement in Puppet. So start thinking about that. You need also to form groups for doing this work. So, but we'll get back to that later. Okay. I consider this the best and the most important video of the course. It's 1.5 hours. Gary Larissa, he's the Shit Gary Says guy, because he has the website shitgarysays.com, and he has sort of by accident become the person everyone listens to when it comes how do I actually use Puppet for best practice. And it's really funny to read and listen to, so that's partly why I've used his blog entries as readings and his videos as lectures. So you see, this is 1.5 hour, and I made this index. So you see, he basically covers everything that we need to know about Puppet and his best practices based on his experience, because he works for Puppet Labs, but he does consulting, meaning he implements Puppet configuration management in big companies all the time. So he basically covers almost everything we need to know in this video. But this video and most of his blog entries are from 2014, and he has now changed his mind. So now you should do things slightly different. So make sure that you also read this blog entry, Workflows Evolved, Even Bester Practices. And this Am I Awesome or Does This Refactor Suck? Because I think that's the updated video. I haven't indexed that.
My name is Gary. Yeah.
See, this is from 2015. And then PuppetConf is in October every year. So I'm curious to see if he will show up in 2016 now with even some change. So, but his principles are still the same. It's just some simplifications. So let Gary teach you workflow instead of me trying to do the same thing. Yep. So What we're going to do now. There's a figure. I thought I'd show you. So, you now have a foreman as your puppet master. And you have some number of computers, servers, clients, contacting your puppet master, retrieving configuration, and doing configuration changes every half hour. So you have puppet controlling all your computers. That's our current setup. But we don't, so what I now can do is I can log in on the manager and I can change the puppet configuration there, and within half an hour this will be applied at all my computers. We want a better workflow than that. You know, you don't change things in production. Things in production work. We want to do changes, but we want to test them first, and we want to test them in a realistic environment, and we want to gradually move them into production. So, what kind of workflow, or how should we do this? Well, we do it the same as they do when they program, because we are programming. You know, Puppet, writing Puppet code is programming. So you are developers also when you do system administration. Meaning, and what do developers do? They use Git. I could say version control, but don't try to do SVN or CVS or something like that today when everyone uses Git. So we need a workflow where we write our Puppet code, we push it into Git, and then we want to take it from Git, put it into a testing environment, check that it behaves as expected, and then move it into production. And of course, this is what everyone does, and there's an automated system that we will run on our manager, which does this. So we can do Puppet code development anywhere. We just need to develop code, and we check it the best we can, and then we commit it and push it to Git repository, and then we run an automated system called R10K, which basically means 10,000 robots or something. It's just a funny name. And what R10K is, just some scripts that will retrieve our Git repository, the central Git repository, will R10K retrieve, and based on the Git branches in here, R10K will create the corresponding environments on manager. So R10K, so in our Git repo, we should have a branch called production, we should have a branch called testing. That's what we're going to do, but you're free to create whatever branches you want. And then R10K will download and create a folder in this directory, etc, Puppet Labs, Puppet Environments. So we will, it will create a production directory and a testing directory, which basically will usually have the same content. But when we want to make a change, we make a change in the testing branch of our Git repositories. We push that change to the testing, remote testing branch, and then we let R10K deploy this to the testing environment, and then any host we have assigned to the testing environment will then get this change and apply it. So Puppet has the power to manage multiple environments, so we can create a whole bunch of servers and then place some of them in the testing environment and some in the production environment. And this is the workflow we're going to do. So, you write Puppet code. You code on your laptop or on the Access VM if you want to. That's your preference. But somewhere you code, and then you push this. You do a Git push and push this to a remote repository. And I recommend that you create repositories in Bitbucket. Because we are going to have some private data. So your Puppet code, the code we're going to push, will contain private data, which should not be available for everyone. It will contain database passwords, etc. So at Bitbucket, you have the right to create private, as many private repositories as you want or something. You can that also. So feel free to use whatever you want to, but it shouldn't be publicly readable. Because you want, you can do that. We put all our data in Hiera. So you will put the passwords, private keys, sensitive data in Hiera. And if we set up encrypted Hiera, we could, of course, make this public. But I have not done it, and I suspect you have not done it either. Normally you would probably encrypt Hiera. But since we're not doing it, we need to restrict access. So use wherever you have the possibility to create a private Git repository. Then from here, we put code into Manager. And this is done by R10K, which is also just automated Git pull. But to make this work, you have to set up so that R10K can access your repository based on SSH keys. Okay, so let's, but this is code pushed to Git, and then R10K downloads and realizes the code on Manager. This is what we want to do. We do not want to code directly on Manager. So we code and test, and then push to Manager via version control, because then you have all the power of version control as well. You can do branching, you can reverse the previous commits, etc. You can regret your changes and go back and see your entire history, and you have all the documentation, etc., etc. Yeah. So, in this etc Puppet Labs Puppet environments on your manager server, you will see that normally you will have, we will not have development, but we will have testing and production. And in these directories, there will be a directory called modules, where all your modules will be. Be aware that R10K will by default delete everything you have in these directories. So if you have any code in here now, before you run R10K for the first time, make sure you have put that into your repositories, because R10K will completely manage this directory. So it will take over and delete anything you haven't specified. Okay. Lab exercise. So I posted this on Frontier as well. Which was sort of a back port, because some of the issues you might encounter with Foreman should be addressed here. So in other words, if you run into problems with Foreman, read this, or read this anyway if you haven't. This is the same page that I posted last some days ago in Frontier. So, for us to have some fun, we need some servers. We now have a manager, a Windows directory server for DNS, and we have a monitor, which is our base setup. So, I have a heat stack where, which you can download from here, that will start another Windows server, Directory 02, and three Ubuntu servers called Login 01, Login 02, and Test. This is just in case we want to set up like a login system, you maybe want to set up in your company two SSH servers that all your students or your employees can access. You would probably label them something like Login 01 and Login 02, etc. And we want, if you have an Active Directory server, you always want at least two, so you can do replication. So that's why you have a Directory 01 and a Directory 02. When you view this template, you will see that for the Windows server, when the Windows server boots, you see it does basically the same thing as you saw for Directory 01, that it downloads Management Framework 5.0, but it does one thing in addition, it downloads and initiates Puppet automatically. So this is here, since it's just one Windows server. But for the Ubuntu servers, you see that there is... I do this. So when the Ubuntu servers, when they boot, they should run the script, which where the template is here, and it is fed with these parameters. So there is an additional file called ubuntuboot.bash that you need to have in the same directory. You see that you can download that from here. So whenever you boot an Ubuntu server, it will download Puppet, install Puppet, it will configure your etc hosts file and write into that. It will state that your Puppet master is manager.borg.trek, and then it will enable Puppet, then it will fix DHCP and reboot. So the same things you did manually last week is now scripted into any of the Ubuntu servers you boot in this template. Just then you see that you get a network that looks like this, with seven hosts in total. And when you boot this template, you will see in Foreman that they will automatically connect, but you have to go to Infrastructures, Smart Proxy, Puppet, and then sign the certificates of those hosts. Then they will show up in Foreman, and Foreman can manage them. Yep, so that's just bringing up that, and then I explain here that we're now going to use the workflow with local code being pushed to Git and R10K pulling this and creating Puppet environments. So you need to make an account on Bitbucket or GitHub if you don't have one, etc. And here are the links for Bitbucket for how you can set this up with SSH. But what you need to do, you need, if you don't want to type your password all the time, you need to create an SSH key where you code, so which you use for uploading or pushing your code, and you need to create an SSH key pair on manager so R10K can work automatically without you having to type any passwords. And you do this by creating a key. Note, this says your chosen ID. So choose an ID, like your username or whatever. So in your ssh.ssh/config file, in other words, if you want to follow this recipe fully and you're using Windows on your laptop, then it's probably best to do this on the Access VM that you log into Sky-High by SSH and do this there, because I'm not quite sure how to set this up on Windows. It's probably not hard, but this is the recipe for doing it on Linux. So if you're doing your Puppet coding on the Access VM, then this is at least the way to go. So, like my chosen ID, if I chosen ID is eyelm bitbucket. You see my chosen ID there, my chosen ID there. So just choose something that you use as your identity and run this command and make sure that your etc config file looks like this. Then you can cut this file, your public key, and paste it into bitbucket according to instructions. So I don't remember right now, but there's it says in the links there's you go to settings for your account and just upload the public keys that should be allowed to commit and or to push and pull data from your repository. But just see these links here to get SSH set up. Log into Bitbucket, create an empty Git repo called control repo. Clone Puppet Lab's template for a control repo to your laptop. Remove its origin and add the repo you created in Bitbucket as the new origin and push the production branch. Which means basically run these commands. Do a git clone of this repo. So Puppet Labs, so this is the best practice workflow from Puppet Labs. And so they have this template for how you should start. We need a control repository. And the way the things work is that you will probably reuse modules for anything you will do. And in some special circumstances, you will write your own module. But your normal use of Puppet is just reusing modules. That means you have to have control over the modules you reuse. You have to control over your specific data in Hiera. And then you always have two modules that you work on. That's your profile module and your role module. So that's the four things that you need for this to work. And these four things, to make it simple, we put them in one control repository. This is what we used four repositories for last year. So in the first videos from Gary Lerisa, he recommends that you use a separate repository for each of these. And in some situations you might do that, but he realized that in most circumstances it's too complicated. So let's do it simple. Let's just use one repository for everything. And that's his change from last year to this year. That it's advisable to keep it simple unless you have to. And if you have to have separate repositories, that means sort of if you need separate access control, if you have different people working on this and this, and you really need to separate access control for them, then you separate into different repositories. If not, just keep in one. So we're going to do it simple, keep it in one, but we use the template setup from Puppet Labs. So we clone this, we just remove the origin, and then we add a new origin, which is the repository we created on GitHub. Note here the link that this doesn't say Bitbucket or GitHub, because in SSH you created your chosen ID linked to a remote server. So that's why you can just say your chosen ID here. And then you can start this by pushing to origin, the production branch. So when or if you have completed last week's exercise, you have some Puppet code and you have some data in Hiera. So copy your existing common.yaml. So on So you probably have a Hiera. Well, when you have completed last week's exercise, you should have a Hiera that looks like this. So remember, Hiera is just separating data from your code. So like the list of software packages I won't install on Windows. Do I want that hard-coded in my Puppet code? Or do I want that as just a separate list in Hiera that I can expand anytime I want to? So this is just an example that I keep the list of software to install on Windows, the list of software to install on Linux, and my root SSH key, which should be distributed to my hosts. Here. So this is the data I currently have in Hiera. So copy this data into the Hiera data directory of the control repo. So you'll see that in Bitbucket, the control repo that we have cloned, you see that this has now two branches, production and testing. And it has four directories. First, as I said, there are four things that we use this for that is really important. So we use it first for Hiera. So you see in here, I have whatever I had, I copied it here. So here's my file. My Hiera data is now under version control. So that's good. Let's see. The next part. Copy all manifests in your current profile module to site profile manifests. So don't worry about these manifests or scripts directory. Go to the site directory. So here are two modules. But how can Puppet know that these are modules? Because Puppet looks for all modules in etc, Puppet Labs Code Environment Production. There are all the modules. But the trick is, in this repository, there is an environment file that says that your module path, should you should add modules site to the base module path. Meaning Puppet on manager will then know that there are two directories that it should look for modules. So this file makes Puppet understand that Puppet will find these two modules, profile and role. And for now, we have just done put a little bit of Puppet code in here. We have created the base Linux configuration and the base Windows configuration. And so your workflow is that whenever you develop something, you create profiles for it, reusing other people's modules, and then you combine these profiles into roles, which you set up in the other role module. So Hiera data, and then site, where you have your profile and your role module. Then modify the file Puppet file to look like this. So, Hiera data, your role, your profile, and your Puppet file. And Puppet file is about controlling your modules. Meaning, we reuse, maybe before you know it, you will reuse 100 modules. Meaning there are 1,000 persons who have coded into 100 modules, which you are reusing, and this code is going to run as highly privileged code on all your hosts. That's quite scary. So we really want to control this. We want to know that these modules that we are reusing, we inspect them before we use it, and we want a file where I can state exactly which modules should be installed, and I can add versions to this, etc. And I can specify a lot more information about each module here. But this lists absolutely all the modules that should be installed on Manager for our profile code to work. So your Puppet file, this is where you list all the modules, meaning you do not do Puppet module install anymore. So we did Puppet module install WordPress to install the WordPress module. No more Puppet module install. When you need another module, you add it to the Puppet file, you commit, you push to Git, and then R10K will download, and R10K will read the Puppet file and install all the modules for you. Meaning when you do a change, you end up going to Manager, and you run this command. Okay, I'm quite sure now that I've done some, I've coded, I've put everything in the testing branch. Okay, I can ask R10K, only update the testing environment for now. And then R10K will contact Bitbucket and check, read my Puppet file and deploy everything. I've already done this. This went very quickly. When you run this the first time, it will be slow because R10K is running Puppet module install for you. Now R10K just checked for changes and saw that all these modules are already in place. Everything is fine. Yeah, so here's the... So for installing R10K, you use an R10K module and use Puppet for installing it. Here are the commands for using R10K. Let's see, let's see what this looks like in Foreman. So you see, I have all my hosts are running, and they are reporting. Okay, there seems to be something with my Windows host, but here you see, environment. So all my hosts are in environment production. I want my testing host, my host called test. I want to edit this. So, and switch this to testing. So now you see that this host will only apply code from the Puppet testing environment, and the others are in production. So I can now check out the Git branch, testing, write Puppet code, commit it, run R10K, and then go to my test, log into this, and apply Puppet, and see that it works as expected. And when I'm happy, I will go back to my laptop or my Access VM, merge the changes into production, push to production, and run R10K again to deploy into production. Yeah. But as I said, we basically have two weeks to complete all this, because this is probably a lot of things, a lot of moving parts to get to work. Okay, I think the recording will stop in any second, so I'll... any questions? Infrastructures